11 o'clock. You tried to come to the 9, but you didn't make it on time. Am I right? Hey, we're so glad that you're here. I'm excited about sharing just our last bit of our established series that we've been going through. It's 8 weeks that we've been doing this, and it's been just an awesome, amazing series. And I want to get into this, but before I do, just two quick things that I want to mention. The first one is really, really awesome. Was it last week? I don't know if it was last week. It might have been last week. We had over 80 kids between the two services in our kids' ministry. 80 kids! That's a phenomenal thing. It's amazing, and we are experiencing growth, and we are just so thankful for all of our kids' ministry workers who serve, you know, every single week. And so two things. Number one, man, today, if you have your kids in the kids' ministry, take a moment to just thank them for what they do every single week to care for our kids and share Jesus with them as well. The second thing, what I'll say, is that right now is an amazing time to get plugged in to what is happening in our church, whether it be in kids' ministry or in any other ministry of this church, because there's a lot of cool things going on, and I believe that God wants you to be a part of it as well. So just wanted to encourage you in those two things. The next one is we have Easter coming at Kairos Church. It's just a few weeks away. We are doing 3 services. We're doing 1 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. We talked about this last week, and we're going to keep talking about it until Easter Sunday comes. There are invite cards like this out on a table out there if you want to grab some. One of the things on here that we're doing, because we've got a lot of cool stuff going on, from worship to the cool activities we'll have going on outside for all the Easter stuff. And then one thing we added this year is that we wanted to do a giveaway. We wanted to give back to the community and help some people in need. And so we're doing something called an e-bill giveaway. Basically what we're saying is we want to pay your electricity bill for 1 month. And so we're going to do one of those raffles every single service. But here's the deal. This is an outreach opportunity. This is for us to bless those who aren't a part of our church, who have never been here before, who may not even ever have been to a church or know who Jesus is, and we want to show them hospitality and generosity. Let them know, first and foremost, hey, Jesus loves you, but we care about you and what you're going through as well. So I want to share that to say that this e-bill giveaway is a tool, an outreach tool, so we can give you the card, and you give the card to someone else that you know. Maybe they're going through a tough time, maybe not. It doesn't really matter. If I could get my electricity bill paid, awesome. I want that done, whether I need it or not. And so maybe you do know someone, and maybe that's a tool, and you say, hey, we're doing all this cool stuff. We got an amazing worship experience, and there's cool things going on for your kids. But also, you know, you could enter a raffle if you show up to Easter at Cairo. So I want to encourage you with that and let you know, you're a moment makers, you're regular attenders. This is for our first, second, and third time visitors, and they will enter the raffle by filling out one of our Connect cards. So I wanted you to know that, understand that. Grab some of these on your way out. There'll be many opportunities to grab these as well. But I'm really, really excited about that and being able to bless people with that. And Easter is going to be phenomenal this year. Now, with that, I want to pray. I want to dive into today's message. Would you pray with me? God, we are, we are thankful for your Son and all that he has done for us and is doing in us and through us through the work of your Holy Spirit to sanctify us to be more like him. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words and the revelations that you gave Paul to share with the Thessalonians and ultimately with all of your church and all of your followers. So today, as we dive into your word, would you just use your word and your spirit to speak to each of us in each of the specific situations that we are going through today? It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right. Say to someone around you, are you ready? Now say to someone else, are you ready? Are you ready? And you're like, for what? Are you ready for Christ to come back? Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus' second coming? You're like, okay, this is going to be a good one, right? Yes, we are. Like, that's going to be a great day, right? Here's the deal. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, it is filled with just mentions of Jesus coming again. I mean, so much so that I talked to you about a book that we had for sale that's a commentary on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians by Warren Wiersbe that's literally called Be Ready. To live in the light of Christ's return. Like, this dude did an entire commentary about the coming of Christ and how we need to prepare ourselves for it. As a matter of fact, if you go and you read through 1 Thessalonians, every single chapter talks about Jesus' second coming. I'm gonna read them to you really quick. Throw up that slide with the First Thessalonians, all the scriptures. Here we go. So I'm gonna read through these really quickly, kind of show you, like, it talks about them in every single one. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It says, you turned from God, or to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for the coming of his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, for who is our hope or joy or crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? There it is again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, may he make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus. There it is again. Now, in chapter 4, it takes a big chunk of chapter 4 and talks about it, but right there in verse 15, it says, we say this to you by a revelation from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And finally, chapter 5, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's interesting is that he just about ends every chapter or every thought with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, you're the Thessalonians. You're the church. You're the Christians there in Thessalonica. And you're getting this stuff from Paul, and he keeps talking about Christ coming back. And you're like, man, if Paul keeps bringing this up, it's probably happening soon, right? Like, it's going to be in our time. Like, I'm gonna see it today, tomorrow, maybe next month. And so they're thinking about Christ is coming back right now. And then on top of that, Paul kind of alludes to another letter or another false teaching that came that tried to pretend like it was from Paul. And so they were misled. Many of the Thessalonians that were hearing this thing from Paul, getting this false teaching from other leaders. And what they thought was, you know what? He's coming back. So now I can just sit back and wait. And they became idle, and they were just twiddling their thumbs, waiting for Jesus to come again. They're thinking to themselves, you know what? You know, we heard the message, and we believed the message, and we began living out the message, and we were even persecuted for the message already. And so now, because we've done all that, now we can just sit back and just wait and wait for him to come. So this was a big issue that the church was facing, and Paul caught wind of it. And so then he writes a second letter to address what he was hearing in the reports. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, indeed, we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined and inappropriate life, doing no work at all. You're acting like busybodies, but really what you're doing, it's doing no one any good. Now, so all of this is taking place in Thessalonians, and this is a big driving force behind why I wanted to preach about this and share this and kick this year off, because, like, you think about the last few years in light of the events that we've experienced and things that have going on and, you know, all these assumptions and all these conspiracies and all these concerns that this is, in fact, the end time. We are in them. Like, Jesus is coming back and we need to be, and like, so I desired, because I was hearing so many people talk about that and I was seeing stuff online, I was like, you know what, I want to speak into this from a biblical standpoint. I want to speak into those thoughts, and I want to make sure that our church understands that while we can look at that, we got to stay focused, not on signs of the times, but instead on serving the Lord. And so this is what I'm doing. I'm closing out the series with, you know, when Jesus comes back. Now, I thought I'd spend a majority of the time talking about this because it was such a big part of 1 Thessalonians. Like, I thought I'd be talking about the when and you know, miring through all that and bringing other stuff in, but the Spirit led me in other directions. And basically, he kept me focused not on the when, but on the what over the when. And I'm thankful for it. And here's why. God doesn't want us worried about the when. He wants us working on the what until the when comes. You understand? He doesn't need us worried or thinking about that or all the things that are going to happen. Like, that's not for us to worry about. He says, I'm going to take care of that. It's going to happen when I want it to happen. What you and the rest of you, the believers, need to be focusing on is the what. What I have called you and purposed you to do. So I'm going to mention the when just a little bit today, but I'm really going to continue to focus and speak on the what until when comes. And I already said, you know, ask somebody, are you ready? But really the question becomes, are you ready are you working while you wait for Jesus to come again? And ready and working is the really, really important part. Now, there's one other thing that's really important here to note. And it comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And it says this, Jesus rescues us from the coming wrath. And so we get real excited about Jesus coming to get us, but then we hear about this word wrath. Now, what's so great about this, and this is the great promise, this is why we get excited, Jesus is coming to collect his bride, which is the church, with those believers. And then, not so exciting, there will be judgment upon the earth. So with the coming of Jesus, we get excited about it. He's coming back. He's going to take... Wrath follows. So Jesus is coming, but then there's wrath that comes along. What is wrath? Well, the wrath will be separation from God for all of eternity for those who do not believe and follow Jesus. Now praise God, right? Jesus is coming to save us from the wrath. And you're like, what's this us? Like, am I included in the us? Like, it says us. Like, can I put my name in there? Can it say Jesus is coming to save Brent and John and Mary? Like, I want to be part of the us. Who is us? How do I be a part of the us? And so I've talked about this throughout this series. Paul talks about it. This is his chosen. We talked about the elect. We talk about those who believe and who are following. And we talked about those who are being sanctified, those who are becoming more and more like Jesus every single day. That is the us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says this. It says, for God has not destined us, there it is again, to incur his wrath. That is, he did not select us to condemn us, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep at Christ's appearing, we will live together with him, sharing eternal life. So if you're in the us, right? If you've lived for him, ready, waiting, and working, you're included in that. And I love that. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28, they'll put it up on the screen. I'm kind of just going to paraphrase it. It says, Jesus came the first time to bear our sin. In his first coming, he took our place for sin. And he'll come again bringing salvation to those who are ready, waiting, and working. And I love that. When he comes again, it's not about sin. It's about salvation. It's about those who have turned from their sin, recognize what he did for their sin, and going to be with him for all of eternity. Those of us who have heard and believed, that's what we get. And what we need to remember, and this is what Paul kind of addresses here, is that we don't just live waiting. We don't just live, you know, expecting Jesus to come back and just waiting and doing nothing. No, we stay ready. We stay waiting. We stay working so that we can share the hope that we have found with others to do what? To save them from the wrath to come. Because there are many others that have not found this hope. There are many others who have not given their life to Jesus. There are many others who are desperate for what Jesus has to offer us. And so what we do is we serve and we wait. In 1 Thessalonians verse 9, it says that they turn to God from idols to serve the living God and to wait. And many of the Thessalonians took out that serve part and that working part and just decided, you know what, let's just wait. But it's the serving is the working. And we must never stop serving while we wait for his coming. And the more we serve, the more we work for the purposes of his glory, the more people that we serve and reach out to and share the gospel to, in my opinion, the sooner he comes back. Because God desires for everyone to come to know him. So this is why we don't worry about the when. No, we focus on the what. We learned in the parable of the wedding banquet, if you came a few weeks ago, that you know God tells us to go out and invite everybody. I want everyone to come to the wedding banquet. I want everyone to come to the party. You go and do the work of inviting and bringing them here. Every Jesus follower is called to share the gospel both in word and deed. That is our purpose. That is our work. That is bringing him glory. That's what we're called to do because God desires for all to come to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, God our Savior wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Peter 3, the Lord does not delay his promise as some understand, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so we know that's what God desires. And how is he seeing that out? It's through the believers who are being sanctified daily and doing the work of the Lord. Now, Romans 10 kind of follows this up and is kind of sums up what I'm saying. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen, right? Like that's such an amazing, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him? They have not believed in. And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Unless they are sharing, unless they are going, unless they are working. We cannot share the gospel if we're just sitting back waiting for Christ to come back. It's the reality of it. And so God desires for all to come to Christ. And it's our work. It's your work. It's every follower of Jesus's work to share the gospel in our lives, in our schools, in our workplace, in our homes, with our neighbors. We're called to walk that out. And so what we do is we walk and we work and we wait worthily until Christ returns so that many will be saved from the wrath to come. And this what that I'm talking about, this what that you and I are called to do until the when comes, this isn't about us. It's not a selfish thing. It's not just for our benefit. Now, what God has to offer us, the salvation is for everyone. And so what you have found, what you have been given through the Holy Spirit, it's not just for you to hold on to. It's meant to be shared. It's meant for your family. It's meant for friends. It's meant for your neighbors. It's meant for your coworkers. It's meant for the people that you drive, you know, on the street with. Like, it's meant for everyone. It's not, you know, this what that we're doing. It's not making assumptions or following conspiracies or following all these rabbit trails about things that might happen, but instead it's focusing on the truth, the only truth. Knowing the truth and speaking the truth, that is God's word. This what is not to live idly and just caught up in doing nothing really of you know, purpose, but to live out our unique purpose and calling that God has given us. And he has called each of us to do a work specific for him. Our circumstances, what we've been through, people that we know, we are called to reach them. And God has given us the Spirit to do so. This what is not to just live on this earth pursuing worldly passions. It's to live worthy of the God who calls us. It's to be sanctified and setting ourselves apart so that we every day show this world the hope that we have found in Christ. They need it, just like you needed it. When you came into contact with it, you said, oh my God, this is so good, and now I need to tell people about it. You see, all of us who have believed have been given the same Spirit. The Spirit that helps us do and live out the will of God. And so our what may look a little bit different than the person next to us, but at the end of the day, it's all for his glory. You and I are called to bring him glory. You and I are called to share about the hope that we have found in his Son. And so that means we must all be ready, working while we wait. And I think it's important to take this seriously. Too many people get caught up in saying, I'll do it tomorrow. Or maybe I'll work on that a month from now. Or I got some things I gotta get into a row before I dive into that, so I'll check that out next year. And they wait until the when comes, and if you wait until the when comes to prepare yourselves, it's gonna be too late. It's too late. It might be too late for you. It might be too late for your loved ones. It's gonna be too late. You know, every week just about I've shared one of Jesus's parables to kind of complement what I've been sharing from Thessalonians. And so I wanted to do that again today. And today I'm going to share the parable of the 10 virgins. And you're like, we already did the sexual sanctification talk, Pastor Brent. Why going back to that? That was uncomfortable enough as it was, right? No, so yeah, this isn't about really sexual sanctification. I mean, it is in a roundabout way, but this is more about being ready when the groom, Jesus, comes to collect his bride, the church. And so it's a really, really cool parable here in Matthew 25. And so let me give you a few things, because maybe you're reading along in Matthew and you're like, I don't know what Jesus is about to talk about with these virgins, but I'm not ready for that right now, so I'm just gonna skip it, because none of this makes sense. And so let me give you a few just terms and things that can help you as we go through it. So as I read through this and as you follow along, picture the groom as Jesus, the 10 virgins representing all believers who desire to be the church, who is the bride of Christ. And you know, with the virgins, you're like, why did Jesus choose virgins? He could have chosen anything else. Well, think about it. Like, that is a picture of purity and wholeness and blamelessness, right? And you go back to our series verse, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. It says he wants to establish our hearts blameless at the Lord's coming. And so that's kind of the picture that you get as you think about this. And so here we go. Let's dive into this. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take olive oil with them. But the sensible ones took oil in their flask with their lamps. Since the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, there was a shout, "Here's the groom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up, trimmed their lamps, but the foolish ones said to the sensible ones, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." The sensible ones answered, "No, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves." When they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived. Then those who were ready went in with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins came and also said, "Master, Master, come open up for us." But he replied, "I assure you, I do not know you." And verse 13 simply says, "Therefore be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour." Now you can kind of see how this comes into play with what I've been talking about the importance of being ready. I'm not just sitting and waiting and thinking you've got it all figured out or that you can do it at the very last minute. We got to be ready, working and waiting. And maybe a thought crossed your mind, because it crossed mine. Like, what's the big deal? Like, why didn't they share their oil? That's pretty selfish and rude, right? Well, so I didn't share the representation of the oil and the lamp. And there's a lot that you can dive into this and, you know, absolutely, you know, study this. But so for me, I'm looking at this, and other interpreters of this say, okay, the lamp, it can equal the word. And so we have the word, and then the oil represents the spirit. And so we both know that we need the word, we need the truth, and we need the spirit, right? And so the sensible, they were like, okay, I'm going to fill up as much as I can on the spirit, and I'm going to have that, and I'm going to take that with me. But more than that, they had continued to prepare themselves. They continued to fill up on the spirit as they waited. They didn't just think to themselves, you know what, I'll just wait to the very last minute and see if I can get some oil from somebody else. They stayed connected, ready for it, to the source of it. They stayed connected to the Spirit. They stayed connected to the Word. They continued to fill themselves up so that when the time came, they were ready. Here's the really key thing here. They didn't just look like they were living it. They actually were. And so from the outset, there's 10 virgins, there's foolish, there's sensible. They're all doing the same things. They're all acting the same way. But the key to all of it is that there's this oil, the oil that produces flame, that produces light. And what are we called as believers to be? The light, right? We're called to be a light in a dark place. And so they didn't have it. So having the lamp without oil is like having the word without the spirit. This is knowledge of God without salvation. It's having work without a godly purpose behind our work. It's doing things for our glory instead of doing things for God's glory. It's doing things that say, look at how good I look, and look, I'm following these things, but it's not really for God and for his glory and for others. It's just for me. Now, one other thing as you read this parable, and really as you read all of this, you got to take into consideration the audience. Who's listening? Who is Jesus speaking to? You got to know that the religious leaders were either there, kind of, you know, eavesdropping, or they caught wind of what is being said. And many times, Jesus said things that they didn't like, and he said them purposefully.
And so bring into mind the religious leaders. They're in the audience, and he's speaking directly to them. You look the part. You say some of the right things, but you're missing the most crucial thing. You're missing the oil. You see, they attempted to showcase themselves as holy and blameless, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit to sanctify them because they refused to believe in the Son that would save them from their sin. And it's so key. Let me say it like this. And I think I said this a few, where there is no Spirit oil, there is no sanctification. And where there is no sanctification, there has been no salvation. You understand? Let me give you a few other illustrations. Maybe you're like, you know what, this whole 10 virgin things is kind of weird. Speak on our terms today. Okay, let's say that you were given or you bought an old antique car. Let's say it's a 65 Mustang. Anyone ever wanted a 65 Mustang? Yeah, if you haven't, why not? You should want one. They're amazing. I don't even like cars, and I want one of those things. Okay, so let's say someone, you got that. You got a 65 Mustang. It's a little beat up, and so, man, you put all kinds of work into it. You put money into it. You fix up the body. You put new tires and rims on it, and you get a new paint job, and you get some racing stripes down the center of it, right? And you gut the interior, and you put some nice leather seats in. You get a new steering wheel put on there, and then you even get, like, gloves and glasses to go along, so as you sit in your cool Mustang, you even look cool, right? And it's awesome. This is a thing of beauty. Everyone goes, man, this is awesome work. I love what you're doing. This is great. I love to just staring at it. And then they're like, let's go for a ride. And you're like, oh, well, I don't. Sorry, I forgot to put gas in it. I don't have any. So I guess we can just look at it. But that's not the purpose of it, right? It's not. And this would be like, okay, so Jesus shows up. And he's like, all right, man, let's go. And you're like, why? I don't have any gas to take you anywhere, Jesus. And then he's like, well, I guess I'll go to the next person to see if they have it. I think something else really important here as well, it's not just that, you know, I said we're not just waiting, we're working here. And so you do all this stuff to have this amazing thing, but you never let other people enjoy it with you because you could never take them anywhere. But let's do one more. Let's say you had the idea to open a trendy, modern, welcoming, awesome coffee shop. And so, you know, you've done the research and you've seen other people do this, and then you've looked online, you've gone to visit these places, and so you started buying all this nice furniture, and you got the nice decor and the nice lighting and the counters, and you get the fancy espresso machine and the grinders and all the things that come up, all the bells and whistles. Man, this place is looking beautiful. It's amazing, and everyone's hearing about it, and you're posting little snippets, you're getting people excited about it, and opening day comes, and people show up, and they're like, all right, I want a latte, and you're like, you know what I forgot? I never got coffee. I'm so sorry. I can't serve you. That's like Jesus showing up and be like, serve me a latte, man, let's go. You're like, I don't actually have that. Let me see if I can go to the coffee spot down the road to get some coffee. But again, even more importantly, you did all this and it looks great and everyone's praising you for what you're doing and it looks awesome, but you never actually got to share a cup of coffee with anybody and to be in relationship with them. Do you understand? Like, it's, you can make something look good on the outside without the gas, without the coffee, without the oil. It does you and everyone else around you no good. So this, I'll sum it up like this. The presumption of the Spirit is not the same as the presence of the Spirit. And you can say and do and put off this facade. This is the religious leaders. What did he call them? He called them whitewashed tombs. They look so good on the outside, but inside it's just, it's dry bones. It's no good. It's rotting. The foolish five did and said all the same as the sensible five, but they had no oil, and so it was fruitless. And in the end, the oil could not be given to them. And when Jesus came, they were not rescued from the wrath to come. Let me read to you Jesus' response again from Matthew 25. This is from the Amplified Version. It says, later, the others also came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he replied, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I do not know you. We have no relationship. Therefore, be on the alert, be prepared and ready, for you do not know the hour nor the day when the Son of Man will come. I ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. And I guess I'll just simply ask a question as we close out our time today. Is there oil in your lamp? Is there Holy Spirit sanctification taking place in your life? Has it just been for show? Has it just been something you've been going along with for too many years? This is what is expected of me, and so I'm going to just try to put up a facade to say that this is what I believe. Is there oil in your lamp? Maybe it started out that way, and there was oil. It was burning bright. Somewhere along the way, maybe it was pride. Maybe it was temptation. The oil ran low. Maybe it was just because you weren't doing anything to be sanctified. You weren't reading his word. You weren't entering into communication with God through prayer. You weren't being held accountable by other Christians and believers in your life. You were just going through the motions. And the oil, it ran out. Here's what I want to challenge you to today. If you would say, you know what, I kind of feel like that's me today, Pastor Brent. My oil is empty. And I don't want to be found unprepared when Christ comes back. I want to be ready. I want to be holy. I want to be blameless. I want to be sanctified. I encourage you today to take a moment to just offer that up to God. First and foremost, just it's an act of repentance. God, I'm sorry. I've been faking it. I've been looking to all these other things and pursuing all these other things, and in the midst of it, I forgot to continue to pursue who you desire for me to be. That you want me to be more like your Son, sanctified through the Holy Spirit. Today, say, today, God, will you begin to help sanctify me and fill up my lamp? I want to burn brightly for you. And this is the second part of it. And this is why it's so important, because I think that coming wrath is something we cannot forget about. Because maybe our oil is there, and our lamp is full and we're burning bright. And we can get excited about Jesus coming to take us with him. We also know that there are many around us. Loved ones, spouses, children, friends, co-workers who do not know him. It's our work, it's our job, it's our role to show the world the light that we have been given and the hope that we have been given. So pray today that God would fill up your lamp with his oil. And then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. But not that he would just fill you up for your benefit, but he would fill you up for the benefit of sharing the good news with others, so that when the day comes in Jesus' return, we can just be, man, glorifying his name and praising his name with those around us who we have shared the gospel with. God desires for all to come to the knowledge of truth. And as his followers, we're called to go to share it. God, we thank you for today for your word. Thank you for just teaching us through this series, like things that we need to work on, things that we had let kind of slip by, things that we had let go of, God, that you have encouraged us to again pursue you passionately, God, to strengthen and establish our faith in you so that we can be strong in you and sanctified in you and be more like you, but more so that we can go out into this world and share the hope that we have found. God, your word is truth. Thank you for speaking it to us through your Spirit. May we continue to listen and obey every single day so that one day when you come back, not only will we be ready, but so will those around us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.